Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You are listening to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, tapping into wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly to learn how you can better understand your animals and deepen your relationship. This hit show calls attention to the many roles animals play in our lives. Through stories and insights, Darcy shares how animals assist us in raising our consciousness and fulfilling our soul's purpose. These busy healers help us with transitions and challenges, love us, and want us to have more joy in our lives. Are you ready to see yourself through your animal's eyes? Learn how they're helping you and walk through life with more ease and grace? Working with ancient healing practices, Darcy can guide you and provide inspiration to move forward. To learn more, go to darcypariso.com.
Hi everyone, I'm Darcy Pariso, the host of Animal Soul Wisdom. And thanks for joining me. Today we're going to have some fun. We are going to be talking to reptiles in this next hour. You're going to meet an albino alligator, a crocodile, a two-headed turtle, and then just a whole host of others. There's some iguanas and snakes and lizards and just all kinds of interesting characters. I went up to visit the reptile farm in Monroe, Washington. It's about 35 minutes from Seattle, north of Seattle. And it was so much fun. I just had a blast. A friend had asked me around 2015 to join her and to go to the reptile farm. And I had never been there, so I was curious. And I developed relationships with some of the reptiles. And they reminded me sometimes of a little dog I had. I know it sounds funny, but if you get past any stigmas that we have and you just talk to them as a soul, you'll find that they're pretty interesting. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And while I was at the Monroe at the Reptile Zoo, I met a zookeeper, Kylie Radford, and she agreed to come on the show. So she's going to be joining us in just a little bit, as soon as she can. She's going to be Skyping in. Apparently, you know, things happen and there's a lot of fluidity at the zoo. So something came up and she said, I'll be there as soon as I can. So while we're waiting for Kylie to join us, I'm going to tell you a couple things about the Reptile Zoo. For the people that are in the area, they probably remember some of these things, or maybe they visit often, frequently, perhaps. So the Reptile Zoo was founded in 1996 by a biology teacher, Scott Peterson. And so Scott's known in the area as the Reptile Man. And so he goes to birthday parties and schools and venues, and he's been on television. He's been on Bill Nye, the Science Guy. So he's pretty well known. And so Scott's goal is to promote conservation and sustainability so that future generations can enjoy nature. And they provide, you know, the very best care for the zoo animals. And I've seen that. I've seen the relationships and the depth of caring. And so that's why I'm excited to have Kylie on today, so she can talk about that a little more and share her experiences. And I really want to tell you about Basker. Basker, it's B-A-S-K-E-R. He's the albino alligator. And I was really anxious to see him. So I've got his story coming up, how we met, and then, you know, kind of the part two when I saw him just a few days ago. But I'm going to hold off on some of those, and I'll just tell you about some of the other, the cast of characters at the zoo. So there's two separate sides. You walk in the main entrance, and you can either go to the right or the left. So I went to the right and talked to different animals. There was a South American green racer snake called Baroness. And as I walked by, he kept stretching his head and stretching his neck in my direction. And it was very clear to me that he wanted me to take his picture, because I had pulled up my camera and was snapping a few pictures. And he was just watching me. And as I got closer, you know, he started posing. And no doubt, I mean, he was posing. He was very patient while I would check, you know, my camera to make sure it came out okay. And so, you know, this is maybe sounds like a friend of yours, but this is who they are. and some of the other animals. I talked to a rhino, rhino iguana, and his name is Doc. And so when I entered that side of the building, I saw a sign that hung over his window that said he was on medication. So I just stopped to acknowledge that, you know, he needed maybe a little help, and I offered some Reiki and asked if, you know, if he wanted to take it, he could. And I immediately heard, you know, very politely, he said, thank you on behalf of all of us. This is really a gift. You know, it's a treat. And he said, I do especially need it right now. So I asked him, you know, what do? How do you spend your days? And Doc said, I'm hungry and then I'm full. And that's my day. And I said, do you do anything else? And he said, no, he's hungry and then he's full. So later when I met Kylie and I told her about some of these things, she said, oh yeah, he likes to eat and he recently face dive into his salad. That's how Doc is. So we laughed. And again, I thought, I wonder what kind of friend or relative we have that would be like Doc. So looking at some of my list of characters, I came across someone called Little Kipling, and I believe he was in the second room and Kylie was feeding him. And when she's on the program, I'll ask her more about him. But Little Kipling is a Asian water monitor, a large lizard. And he had just had his enclosure changed. So he was really active. He really liked that things had been moved around, and it was like living, you know, like buying a new house, getting some new furniture, moving things. So he was really on the move, very active. So when I saw that he was on medication, I felt a little sad. And quickly he broke into my thoughts and he said, don't feel sad for me. He said, I chose to be here. He said, are you kidding? I'm learning a lot. He said that he likes to watch people and observe us. And he told me that, you know, some people have these big open hearts and others are just shut down. And the zookeeper told me a little bit later that, you know, he can be a little skittish at times, but since they changed the enclosure, or I guess made changes to it, that he's just really thriving and he's even tripled his weight. So I thought to myself, you know, this is a good lesson. We make assumptions. We put personalities on our animals. I mean, if we have dogs or cats at home, you've probably found yourself doing that, as I have. When I have two dogs, or I had two dogs, and when one of them passed about 3 years ago, a little more than 3 years, I got to know the remaining dog, my Havanese, and we have an entirely different relationship. And I know that our relationship changed and our bond changed, deepened. But I also wonder how much of that, you know, was there to be uncovered before that. But the relationship, their primary relationship was about the two of them, the two dogs. So lesson, don't make assumptions. And so I'm grateful he corrected me. So I did a little research on, well, I read his placard outside the enclosure. And water monitors are a semi-aquatic lizard that are found in swamps and forests in South and Southeast Asia. They have this long forked tongue, and that's how they can locate prey. And then they defend themselves with their teeth and their claws. And they can hold their breath for 30 minutes when they're underwater. Wow, that's a long time, isn't it? And they also can grow to 7 feet long and live about 20 years. So they're kind of a close relative of the Komodo dragon, which most people, you know, maybe a lot of people are more familiar with. So those are just some of the people that I met just upon entering. And one of the things that I learned from the first visit back about 4 years ago was that some of the snakes at the entrance were pretty upset. They were kind of huffy and puffy and, you know, kind of fighting. And we said we tried to communicate with them and they didn't want to talk to us. And they were, you know, they're just angry. And one of the zookeepers told us that there was a virus and everything had to be taken out of their enclosure and everything had to be sanitized, cleaned, and so forth. And this had happened a couple of times and they had been passing this around. So they were pretty, you know, pretty cranky. So that's when my friend said, you know what, we need to send them some energy. So that's what we started doing. And we found that it, you know, really did make a difference. So that's how that came up. But so many things that they shared with us are, I could have been talking to a human or seen it in my dog or cat, and that's who they are, even though they look very different. When I talked to Kylie too, we were talking about a turtle named Jolly, and I forget what kind of turtle he was because they have like hundreds of reptiles, and I'll see if I can get a number on that. But I think I was told something like a couple hundred, like 200, 250. But Jolly was a turtle who was just over 20 years old. And she was telling me that one of his favorite things to do was to play with dog toys. And he also liked to exercise. And so he was liked to feel his body and have fun. And when I asked him, you know, what he thought about things and how he felt, he said that he has goals for himself. So that was about him. And there's just so many more. I wish I could have had the time to get all their names and descriptions and know more about each one. So I think I told you about some of the ones that I passed and had brief conversations with. I also learned while I was there, or it was reaffirmed, that many of the reptiles that are there are rescue animals that came from the Fish and Wildlife departments. So often they have nowhere else to go. And a lot are illegal rescues, or they had to be relocated, maybe both. So many of these rescues can live 10 to 15 years in the wild. But once they are at the zoo or taken care of by humans, if that's the case, if it's appropriate, their life increases to about 30 years. And that's due to regular medical care and regular meals. So that does include reptiles and domestic pets. And they all matter. All lives matter. Oh, I think I see Kylie logging in. Are you here?
I am. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for joining us. I was just letting people know that I had visited 4 years ago and got some updates and telling them some of the short encounters I had with some of the reptiles before you got here. So thank you.
Not
so
a problem.
I would love to get feedback from you. So I introduced you, Kylie Radford, and you're a zookeeper. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay, at the Monroe Reptile Zoo, or Reptile Zoo in Monroe. So what is life like for you? What is a day in the life of?
I actually love my job. So essentially a day-to-day is we come in and we have certain things on certain days we have to get done, whether that be feedings or filtration, water changes, tank changes, what we refer to as servicing, or basically just going in and cleaning the enclosure of an animal. Every animal in the zoo gets cleaned at least once a week, some of them 2 to 4 times a week, just kind of depends on how much of a mess the animal makes. And then, of course, we're the vet techs, we're the janitors, we're the customer guides. We do all of the close encounters and our handlings, and take care of all of our ambassador animals as well.
Wow. And you're really busy. I know when I was there, there's just always things to do. And even if the animals are sleeping or it seems to be a quiet time, there's lots to do yet, isn't there?
There's always something to do. And we even have lists of what we consider, what we call overlooked tasks, that when we are done with our day-to-day kind of grind, or when we're done with our day-to-day tasks, those are the things that we kind of look to. And it's very difficult for us to even get to those sometimes because we're just so busy with our day-to-day stuff or with things that pop up, especially because we do take in rescue animals. So we could have a normal week and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, we're getting 2 new animals in this week and we have to set up enclosures for them and get them on our feeding regimens. And just, there's always something to do.
Wow. Now, I missed how many animals you said that, like, for example, if you were getting 2 more, did you say?
This last week, yeah, we ended up taking in a couple rescues, but it could be, you know, it could take a couple weeks where there could be months where we don't get any animals in, and then it could be all of a sudden for, like, in a week, we get 2 to 4 animals. It just kind of depends. We do adopt out some of our animals. Right now, our adoption program is kind of on hold, and we take based on, like, emergency situations. But we started as a rescue facility 35 years ago, and that's kind of how we've continued. There's a lot of animals out there that need homes. So,
Yeah, I was just explaining that some of the things you told me, that a lot of these animals have nowhere else to go, and or they're brought in by the Fish and Wildlife Departments.
Yeah, we've gotten confiscations, illegal confiscations. We've gotten abandonments at like apartment buildings and had apartment management come and bring them to us. We've gotten animals that people get for their pet, for their kids. And then when the kids, you know, turn 18, the kids don't want to deal with them anymore when they are off to college and they can't take them with them. And the parents are like, well, we don't want it. We also get abandonments on our front porch. It's sad, but there's just as many reptile lives out there as there are dogs and cat lives, you know, that need help, that need assistance, if not more so, because they have more offspring.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, you probably could expand your building by double and still not have enough space for everybody that has a need.
Oh, easily. We probably get, each week, we probably get at least 30 calls just for rehoming animals.
Wow, that is amazing. I shared a couple of stories about like Doc and, oh, let me see, little Kipling and some of the animals I talked to just briefly about, you know, what they wanted to say. But mm-hmm. I wanted also you to share some stories about, I mean, these are just, you know, my couple hour visits twice. You must have countless stories.
Oh, I've got so many stories. I've worked at the Reptile Zoo for almost 3.5 years now. And I was actually hired out of a pet store. So I had, you know, some information and things like that, and had been working with reptiles since I was pretty young. So I was really excited to get the opportunity to work at the Reptile Zoo. But all of our animals, everyone has, they all have a personality. Some of them are kind of grumpy. Some of them are kind of like cranky or crotchety. Some of them, you kind of imagine that they're super hyper and always running around. Some of them are just kind of more go with the flow. It does depend on like each individual animal. So, Doc, our rhino iguana is a great example. He's kind of our crotchety old man a little bit. He's a little bit cranky sometimes. He's also just very active and very excitable by a lot of things. His zookeepers are a great example of that. But he's kind of the one that always like chases the zookeepers away a little bit. He's like, I want my area, I want food, and that's it. That's all I want. And then Kipling, you know, he's pretty shy still. He's still working on coming out of his box and coming out of his shell a little bit. We put him on display about 2.5 years ago now, and he went in this big, giant, beautiful walk-in enclosure for the zookeepers to be able to work around, and he still gets kind of skittish when we're working around him, and he'll go and hide, or he'll go and, you know, cover himself up with one of his bins or something like that if we're in there and we're moving around making too much ruckus for him. He's still very shy. It's kind of endearing because, you see this big, almost 6-foot lizard that by science standards could easily take an adult hand off, but he's so nervous and so skittish of people. A lot of the times he just doesn't want to be dealt with. He doesn't want to be touched, anything like that. So they're still shy sometimes. And we have quite a few animals that kind of show their personality, especially when we get to see them a little more at the zoo on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. You know, and I haven't told the story, my version of what I saw anyway, about Basker, the albino alligator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to save that because it's a little bit longer and I didn't want to chop it up too much. And so, but I wanted to ask you about, you said that there was like kind of a party and Basker was involved.
Yeah. So this last January, we actually started doing quarterly events at the zoo. And so every 3 to 4 months, we were trying to do an event kind of as an outreach after hours thing to just get customers in and give people kind of a little more intimate detail about the zoo or an intimate experience with the zoo. And so the first weekend in January, we had what we called our annual gator grab. And we, you know, for safety purposes, we went in and we restrained both animals and did like vet checks and checked them over. And then Basker was really cool because we actually were able to get him out of his enclosure, get a weight on him, get a length on him, figure out how much he had grown since we had put him in the enclosure. And then we had three of the zookeepers and then the director of the zoo actually sit down on a bench with him And we had something like 200 to 250 people at the zoo that evening that were able to come up and pet Basker. And Basker's, you know, he's a 7'4" American albino, technically leucistic alligator, but that's, you know, a technicality. And he's really shy sometimes. He's kind of quiet, but he's pretty respectful and pretty calm with the zookeepers a lot of the times. But he's just so incredible to be able to go up and imagine you've got this line of people and he's secured. So they're able to like get up close and take pictures with his face and, you know, get to feel all the different textures that that alligators have on them, from their super hard osteoderms on their back, which are made of, you know, semi-bone and cartilage and then keratin, to the really soft bottoms of their feet, which feel almost like baby's feet.
I can just picture that, having, you know, met him and knowing him a little bit. But, and so he was fine with that.
Yeah, he was pretty well behaved some of the times. And we have smaller alligators out on Saturdays, and they get, you know, sometimes they get a little anxious and they get a little wiggly and things like that. But Basker just kind of sat there almost like he was perfectly fine with it. Like he was enjoying it and he was like, cool, I'm down with this. Which is really awesome for us. It made it an easier process for him and less stressful for him, because he wasn't struggling. He wasn't getting upset or anything like that. So it was really cool.
Yeah. I would have loved to see that. He's incredible. And I'm glad that things have changed for him. And I'm going to share his story in a little bit. But I remember you said something funny about him too, that, oh, he told me he was an ambassador for one thing. And you said, yeah, he's like the poster animal. And all
he
these
is.
People waited to pet him.
Yeah, he's kind of one of our favorite poster animals. Is, you know, it's not every day you get to see a big albino alligator, but he is. When I say I work at the reptile zoo, they're like, oh, what do you have? I'm like, we have an albino alligator and a two-headed turtle. So it's, you know, people hear that and people get excited about that because it's not something you see every day. But he definitely is one of our, I mean, you walked up to the zoo, he's on our front billboard of the zoo.
Yeah, he's certainly a showstopper.
he's awe-inspiring. He's incredible.
Yeah. So any other stories that you want to share? You know, just, I remember you were feeding, were you feeding Simba when we were in that second room?
Yeah, I was. I was feeding Simba. So Simba is our caiman lizard. And he's kind of a little bit of a brat sometimes. He's kind of adorable. He's very cute. And he's very sweet and he knows it. Some of our animals are very picky about the things that they want to eat. And people ask us all the time what we feed our animals. And some of our animals are a lot more finicky. We use the word finicky more commonly to what they eat. And our caiman lizard, Simba, definitely seems to be that. And he's gorgeous. He's got a bright red head and a beautiful green body and big long tail. But he has certain things that he likes to eat. In the wild, they eat a lot of snails, and they eat a lot of like crawfish and shrimp and things like that. So in captivity, he's not a huge fan of his bugs normally, because they can and should eat bugs. It's good protein for them. He's not a big fan of his bugs, but you give him his rodent. He gets a rodent once a week, and he absolutely loves it. He goes crazy for his rodents and his fish, and his bugs he kind of tolerates. More so than anything else, but he gets really excited. He'll sit there and he'll like lay on one of the zookeeper's arms, just enjoying like being handled and being pet. It's really very endearing for them.
He's like our house pet. Oh, I think I don't know. Oh, okay. I see you again. We froze for a little bit there.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. But I was just saying that Simba's like a little, you know, kitten or a little dog. It can be like a little house pet.
Very much so. In fact, some people that own, they're also known as like a caiman tegu. But we also, right next to him, we had Eleanor, our black and white tegu. And those guys are pretty commonly pets. A lot of those of us that know tegus, we actually refer to them as kind of like cats with scales. Instead of fur, because they do just want to sit there and cuddle with you a lot of the times. And both our caiman lizard and our tegu are both like that. And they're very sweet. We've got, like I said, I used to work at a pet store, and we had customers that would bring their tegus in on a leash and harness, and they would walk around the pet store and they'd roam around, and they're so cool. And they just sit there and cuddle with their owners or anyone that would pick them up and love on them. They just sit there and just take it, and they loved it. And it was nuzzle into their neck and things like that. They are very much like, people think that because they have scales and because they don't create their own body heat, they aren't the same as dogs and cats. So they aren't as valuable, or for some odd reason, they don't get it as attached. And that's entirely false.
Yeah. And if you talk to anybody that, you know, that has one or has one of these animals that you're talking about, they do, they just love them. When I posted the show, someone said, oh my gosh, oh, you know, I have a lizard or I have one. And they don't get to, they don't get positive feedback as often as they should.
No, definitely not. And even myself, I have snakes at home, and people are like, oh, snakes don't recognize you. You know, they, by according to science, they technically don't have the part of the brain that leads to a personality. And being that I've worked with them and I've owned snakes for, you know, going on 15 years close to, I believe it's elsewhere in the brain. It's, you know, it's developed elsewhere, because my snakes recognize me. They know the difference between me and when my boyfriend walks into the room. So they recognize, I'm not entirely sure whether it's the vibration, because they can't hear, whether it's the vibration that they recognize, or whether it's just the smell, or whether they just know, you know, it's me versus my boyfriend. They're not big fans of him, but he's not a big snake fan either. So,
yeah. And you know, that makes me think that this is just my, viewpoint or perception. I believe that all beings can recognize energy. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we all have a kind of an energy signature. And even if you were blindfolded and somebody walked in and you didn't hear them, you didn't hear their footsteps or know what time it was or whatever, you just kind of sense that it's, you know, a heavier energy or a lighter energy, and you know who it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is really cool. Well, I really enjoyed coming out, and you're just bringing in more animals as often as you can to help them. And that's really great. And I really love that Basker has his friend Barnabas. Is it Barnabas now? Right? Right across?
Big Ten.
Yeah.
You still there, Darcy? You're cutting out.
Oh, you cut out too. So I guess it's maybe through Skype.
Maybe.
You know, you brought up about a monkey too, but I didn't remember what you said, that one of the monkeys, was there a monkey that had a baby?
So our monkey-tailed skink, Serenity, our monkey-tailed skink. Yeah, she had just given birth about 12 days prior.
Okay, and she was in that second room.
She was in the right-hand side room. Her enclosure was all covered up with paper to kind of decrease her stress, keep her nice and calm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I guess that's why I didn't see her. I thought there was a monkey something, a monkey skink. Okay. And I thought, but I didn't say it. But there's, how many animals do you have now, Kylie?
We have 81 species on display. That's not including some of the animals and rescues we have in the back room. But we have 81 species on display, and probably about 105 individuals, because we do have multiples of some of them, you know, like our box turtles and our mini musk turtles and our sulcata tortoises and things like that. We have multiples. So I believe the count on display is about 100 to 105, 81 species. And then we probably have about another 40 or so species off display.
Wow, I hadn't realized that you had that many in the back. That's a lot of animals.
Yeah.
And you probably need some more staff to help you out.
We do pretty well with the four of us, but it's because everything, we run entirely off of admissions. So basically everyone's admission pays for the zoo itself. It pays, it pays for the electricity bill to keep warm, all of that fun.
Okay, I heard that the admission pays for electricity and the bills and the food and just about everything, it sounds like. Maybe even some advertising.
Yeah,
I think we're losing you. I don't know
there's
if you
people
can
having. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Sorry, I am at work. I'm actually on my lunch right now, and being out in Monroe, we don't have the best service.
Oh, that's okay. No, most of the connection was really good. It was just toward the end a little bit that we were losing you a little bit, but I really appreciate you coming on and spending your lunchtime doing this.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's always nice to be able to talk about our critters.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad that I met you. And again, I just want to say a big thank you to Kylie Radford and your a zookeeper, and go out and check her out, and she'll help you and point you around to some of these animals. And you're about the Monroe, let me see, the Reptile Zoo in Monroe is about 35 miles from Seattle. Is that right?
Yeah, probably right about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And I'll be back and I'll be calling you, asking questions, and I appreciate your time. So thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Darcy. We'll see you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
And I think with that, we're going to take a break. This is Darcy Pariso at Animal Soul Wisdom, and we'll be back shortly.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you feeling stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a healthy relationship filled with inspiration? You might just be on the verge of attracting your soulmate. Tune in each month to The Laura Richer Show, where dating coach Laura Richer and co-host matchmaker Peggy Bennett share tools for using your dating breakdown for a relationship breakthrough. For more information, visit richerhealinghypnosis.com.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at louparadise.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Darcy Pariso, and this is Animal Soul Wisdom. Thanks for joining me today. We just had one of our zookeepers, Kylie Radford, on from the Reptile Zoo in Monroe, Washington. So I'm going to get back to that. But before we begin, I'd like to give you some contact information. If you would like to contact me for either an animal communication session, some energy clearing, energy healing for animals or people, I do Reiki and Matrix and some other different healing modalities, or a mediumship reading, you can go to my website, and it's darcypariso.com. That's D-A-R-C-Y. P-A-R-I-S-O. It's like Paris, the city of Paris with an O. And you can also contact me at my email, dpariso, P-A-R-I-S-O, at live.com. And I'm on Transformation Talk Radio on the second and the fourth Thursday of the month. On the second Thursday, I'm on both Transformation Talk Radio and KKNW in Seattle, and that's at 2 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time and 5 Eastern Daylight Time. And then, of course, this show, which is at 2 Pacific and 5 Eastern. So keep that in mind and, you know, check me out. So again, thanks for joining us. And I would like to get back to the story about Basker. Basker is an albino alligator that we've referenced several times. And I went to the zoo because one of the main reasons was to see what happened, to see what changed in his life. So as I was walking through one side of the zoo, I saw this large enclosure and I looked all around and didn't see anything. And suddenly, almost blending into the floor, was this albino alligator. And he just laid there, almost lifeless. And I watched for a while to see if he even would move, and he didn't. And so my friend and I were just sending healing energy throughout the building. And I started to walk away, and not expecting him to talk to me because he just looked really depressed. And suddenly he did. He started talking to me, and he told me that he's very sweet. You know, I started saying, you know, if you want to talk, you know, go ahead. I'm here. I'd like to listen. But he said he's very sweet. And he told me that he didn't see his current path being part of his life. He said that when he came to the earth, he had forgotten his plan, that he didn't remember that this is what he was here to do. And he said that his freedom from captivity can only now come into his life through his dreams. He said, if I want to be free, I have to travel to other dimensions in the dream state. But he says it's okay because I have big dreams and big travels. And so this is what he was talking about. And at the time, he was 14 years old. This is in 2015. And very uncommon for any zoo. And his chances of survival in the wild were really, really low because his lack of pigmentation and no camouflage. Albino alligators can live up to 80 years in captivity. And they can weigh anywhere from like 500 to 800 pounds. So here he was. He's in this large tank, just under 8 feet, very lethargic looking. And then he perks up, you know, once he starts feeling energy, and he puts his eyes on me and says, in a very courtly manner, he looks over, you know, once he gets his little burst of Reiki energy, and he says that he's pleased to meet me. And I swear, you're going to laugh, but I swear he's smiling. You know, the alligators have that very long snout and all those teeth, and it looks like he's smiling. I almost laughed. So he impressed me so much that I wrote a story about him for New Spirit Journal. So it's under the nature section if you want to check it out. So Basker tells me that he has a lot of gratitude for being acknowledged. And he says that a lot of the caretakers in the zoo, they really see him and they really get him. And that meant so much to him. And then he singled out a particular zoologist who I believe is no longer there. But he told me that this zoologist was a really important relationship. And he said that it was everything for him to know somebody like that and to have somebody care so deeply about him. He said that they really had this strong heart-to-heart connection. And he asked me to ask this zoologist to keep talking to him because it was helping to heal him. And he told me that he created a physical ailment in his body because he really wanted to leave. And he said, but now everything's different. So when the zoologist came over and he said, hey, what are you doing? Because I'm writing and writing and writing, you know, because it comes through so quickly. And I said, I'm talking to Basker. And he's telling me, and I repeat everything. And the zoologist says, you know, wow. He said, that's true. He said he had this eye problem and we brought in multiple specialists and it stumped everyone. And he said Basker even stopped eating for 6 months. So, of course, the staff was, you know, really, really concerned about him, and they really feared that they were going to lose him. And can you imagine? You don't eat for 6 months? Wow. So anyway, the zoologist said that what he would do is that he'd climb into the alligator enclosure every day to clean it. And he'd clean it. He'd try to feed him, leave food out, and he would talk to him. And he said, I would just sit down and talk to him like a friend. And you know, tell him, come on, Bhaskar, you can do this, you know, do it for me. And it was such a wonderful relationship, and the emotion in it was just really wonderful to see. And I'm sure that this is the connection that Bhaskar spoke about, the reason that he's still here today. So before I leave, Bhaskar brightens up. He just lit up and had a little more life into, you know, in his body. And he explained that, hey, I'm moving to a new enclosure next door pretty soon. And there's an alligator over there that I communicate with. So he was really looking forward to that. So he was on the mend with disease, whatever it was that he created. So he was happy. So he said that soon he'll have what we all long for, something to look forward to and a friend to share his life with. So that's why I was anxious to go and see how is Bhaskar doing. So I'm up there just 2 days ago and anxious to see him. And he's out cold. He's sleeping. Everybody's sleeping. I'm like, oh no. So I did finally get over to him and asked him, you know, hey, how did your life change after this move? And this kind, gentle, happy alligator was just that. He was very happy, even though he was sleepy. He said, what changed? Everything changed. I have a new home. I have deeper relationships, new, deeper relationships. And he said, I stepped into my role as a leader. And then he hesitated. Then he changed that. And he said, I'm an ambassador. He said, I am an ambassador. He said, you know, with this declaration, it's me, the ambassador. And he said that he also had some preferences with the people that took care of him, that they all had a good heart, but there were some people that he just really enjoyed. And that was when Kylie came over and told me that he's the most important animal at the zoo. He's our poster animal. And we took him outside and up to 250 people waited to pet him. So that was his update for 4 years later. And then on another note, his new friend and his new deeper relationship is Barnabas, an alligator that was just a little bit across from him. And he told me that, you know, Barnabas is a really good friend to have. And that may be true, but the sign on his enclosure said that he has the third strongest bite known to all living humans. So, yeah, but he was a good friend. So Barnabas and Bhaskar talk, and they confide in each other. And Barnabas said, yeah, we really get each other. And so Kylie came over and told me that Bhaskar and Barnabas they're the gentlemen of the reptile zoo. And she said, though sometimes Barnabas, the new friend, if he's uncomfortable, he's very vocal and he'll just bellow. So, and now because of this whole event that they had with all the people petting him and pictures, Bhaskar's really a celebrity. So that was when they did that, what they call the alligator grab, everyone holding a section of his body. So they're just having the time of their life and everything turned around for them. So good news, Bhaskar is very healthy at under 8 feet long. So I wanted to share that with you. So that was important for me to know, because when I saw him, I left that first time back 4 years ago, I was really concerned that he might not make it. But now he sings and he bellows when he's happy. And maybe we have friends like Bhaskar too in our lives. So that's Bhaskar's story. So I think we've got time for a short break and then maybe a couple more stories before we have to close for the day. So thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. Animal Soul Wisdom with Darcy Pariso.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death from debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Hey, welcome back. It's Darcy Pariso. You're listening to the final segment of Animal Soul Wisdom on Transformation Talk Radio. So we can't close without learning about Pete and Repeat, the two-headed turtles. So when I was back to see them and meet them for the first time in 2015, of course, I was drawn to a captivating two-headed turtle. And the first thing they told me is they came swimming over, and it was, you know, a turtle with two heads. And they came swimming over and they're all excited. They told me they wanted to be seen and that they're separate souls and that they had experienced a lot of lives hiding as prey animals. So showing themselves in this big way, in this public way, is exactly what they chose to experience in this life. So I asked them, like, why now? And they said, because it's time that there's a kind of a higher consciousness and an acceptance for both humans and animals. So they tell me that, Pete and Repeat, that they find that people are the curiosity and the anomaly, that, like, we're the odd ones. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, people are so stressed out and they're no fun. And that they felt like they really hit the jackpot at the reptile zoo. And they said, where else could we have the opportunity to study so many people, to learn about you and, you know, not just about our what we do and say, but our thoughts? And they confided that, you know, kind of like, yuck, we don't let your energy stick to us. And we have a slippery coat that repels it. And I went, oh, okay. So with a little more probing, I learned this is when the zoologist came along and I was asking questions. And I said, like, how do they do this? How do they operate their body with four legs, two heads, and this shell? And he told me that one head operates three of the legs, while the other head relies on that remaining front leg to work in tandem to carry out the daily activities. So it's sort of like the rudder, I guess, or maybe maybe it's the front leg. But I envision, like, that single leg being more like a navigator commanding those other three power sources. And it was really fascinating. They really had this down. And not only that they really love to exercise. So they said that they're guys and they love to exercise, and their sport, it's chasing the fish around the aquarium. And the zoologist said, yeah, to the chagrin of the staff. And they also said that they fight over food. So imagine that, a turtle with two heads fighting over food. And they said that their relationship was a partnership, and truly they were best friends. And they told me that they had a previous incarnation, and that Pete and Repeat, they felt love, and they felt a really special closeness for each other. And they also said that they are independent thinkers. They each have their own brain, and so they can have a lot of really deep conversations. And again, you know, I wanted to start this out by saying, close your eyes and envision this. A turtle with two heads, two brains, working their body together. But they said they have these really deep conversations in the quiet of the night when everybody is gone, everyone falls asleep, there's no people, no humans. And they talk about, you know, their observations and the perceptions for the day. And I could just see it as they were describing all these things. So I asked, you know, is there anything that you want or need? And I saw an image of a small lightweight ball, similar to like a cat safari ball. And the zoologist laughed. He said, yeah. And is there anything else, I asked? They said, yeah, make it two. They wanted two balls. So I was reading their placard, and it said that Pete and Repeat are identical twins that fail to separate completely. And most red-eared slider turtles don't live very long, but can have a long life if they're given the proper care. And I hear this laughing behind me coming from them, and they say in unison, hey, que sera, sera. So that was my story when I met them. So I was all the way through the zoo, which is, you know, a pretty big building. And finally, I came to Pete and Repeat way back in the corner in the second building. And they're really tired. And I'm hoping to have a nice conversation, but they're tired. So they did open an eye and say hello. And I asked them, you know, what they're doing and do they like their new space? And they said, yeah. We like to watch the goldfish that they put in our enclosure, and sometimes we chase them for exercise, but that's it, back to sleep. And running into Kylie, who was on a little bit ago, told me, yeah, they had just taken some meds, and that's their story. But, you know, they're kind of doing the same thing and enjoying themselves, but they weren't so much in the limelight, I guess, which is probably a nice break for them also. So if you are in the Seattle area and you get the opportunity, I'd encourage you to go to the Reptile Zoo in Monroe. It's about 30 miles from Seattle, and I think it took me about 40 minutes from Seattle also. So give it a shot. And I also realized that I have like 4 or 6 tickets that I bought on a Groupon that never expire, and I've gone up there and forgotten to use them. So if anybody's interested, I'm happy to donate the 4 or 6, whatever they are. You can contact me at my email, dpariso@live.com. I'm happy to pass those on. So we have maybe just about 6 minutes. I think I can share one last tale of Terry the crocodile. So it is early in the afternoon. A lot of the enclosures have sleeping reptiles after their meal. And I hear, hey, over here, greetings, greetings. And I look and it's a crocodile. And I go to his sign and it's Terry. And he appeared to be resting. I thought he was sleeping. But he added, he said, hey, you're making a difference just by being here. You're opening people's hearts and minds, and you're showing them that we all have the same feelings. So tell them. And you matter, and your life matters just like we do. We matter too. And so tell them that. It's a mindset. And he added that we all have the same heart. We're all part of God. We all matter. Tell them, tell them. I want to be known, he said. I want to make a difference and a contribution. So this is Terry. If you head up head up to Monroe Zoo, the Reptile Zoo, go check out Terry. Terry says that he dreams of people, of noise, and he can see the souls of young people. And he's showing me more like children. He dreams of freedom, and he sees people's hurts and struggles, and he sees the people that are awake. He says they don't come very often because they say it's hard to see us, but come and see us anyway because we matter. And that was Terry's message. So I think that we're ready to head out for the day. I want to thank you for joining me. And if you enjoyed learning more about reptiles, like I said, remember, you know, we are more alike than different, though it may not look like it by appearances. And I'd like to encourage you again to join me on Animal Soul Wisdom on the second and fourth Thursdays. If you're not remembering the times, you can either go to my website at darcypariso.com and also check out my Facebook page. It's called Angels and Animals, Angels and Animals Facebook page. I have a lot of posts about animals and good things that people are doing for them and how we're all helping. So thanks for joining me, and I will be back on June 13th and June 27th. I'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Animal Soul Wisdom Radio, tapping into the wisdom of our animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso. Tune in monthly as Darcy shares stories and insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and ancient techniques, Darcy is here to guide you through the process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information or to listen to this show, visit darcypariso.com.